in the middle of the Ramadan. We have done one Ramadan already, and the Ramadan has to have made his case, trying to be docha the rayas from the Gemara on Tedala Pehei, about when the Gemara refers to chutz versus almanah. And now the Ramadan is going to have to deal with one last thorny issue. Yes, Yomi?
Is it not just the marriage
and such a simple reading of the Gemara, I think. So he's docha. He comes up with the terrors.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the only thing that he
Tanoim. His issue, his argument is that the Tanoim, who are busy arguing Rabbi Eliezer, and the Gemara's reading of that would suggest that they didn't see a distinction. True, but that's the Gemara Pehei. The Gemara Pehei is what kind of ties them in knots. Now, it's the last piece of one piece of the Gemara Pehei Alf that once again gives the Ramban a hard time. And it's particularly this part of the Ramban. And again, it's the Ramban's. So other Rishonim may do this, but here the Ramban is he's cryptic, and you have to read it like three times to realize what he's saying. And I will not ask you to read Jake because you are not responsible. Again, you already did your tour of duty. So I think I'm going to ask Shimmy to read. Picking on you guys, okay? But really, like, in other words, it's very subtle what he's saying. So start with Gaida.
May de
parchinan.
Two.
What's the word two mean, by the way? What's its etymology? Or its meaning?
Furthermore.
Furthermore, again. And what's its etymology?
Is it dropping
relationship? Yeah, tov. In Yerushalmi, I know the Yerushalmi drops aleph all the time, but in Yerushalmi it would appear, I believe, as tov. If it is, I think, and Targum is a common root. So two is just short for tov. Shuv, again, further, right? So that which we ask, okay, further, go ahead.
Rabbi Akiva, Yichot, Svira Leilotim Chot, the Amenas, Svira Leilotim Amenas. Kashali.
Okay, now, Kashali, he's not just stam asking a question. What is really Kashali? You could read this two ways. It just means literally, it troubles me. But what else? How else could you read Kasha? Which is not what he meant, but is actually what he's doing anyway.
Kasha.
It's a Kasha, my opinion, that came before. But if you look in the Chiddush Rashba, he will say he thinks this Gemara is the clinching Gemara against the Ramban's argument. The Rashba does quote, he quotes the standard read, then he quotes the Ramban's argument at length, and he says this Gemara, I believe it's on this Gemara, he says the riot that Ramban is wrong. Right? The Ramban is Doha as well, but understand, so first you got to figure out, A, what's bothering Ramban about this Gemara? B, he gives two dechios. How exactly is he being doha? And it is so, in Beis Medrash time, it's so dachistic. It's so fine, the distinction. Like, what is he saying? So let's first go with the question. Number one. All right, now again, it's not true, except for he said that, so he's got a problem. So how do you see... So Rabbi Akiva, the way I explained, argues both. He argues in Rabbi Eliezer on both. And Rabbi Akiva would represent an opinion of the Chachamim. He argues both on Chutz and Almanas. The Islay.
The Islay Chada Teshuva, the Almanas. The Koshe Kain.
Yes, it's the Koshe Kain Lachutz.
The Koshe Kain Lachutz. The Chada Teshuva Lachutz Tachudet.
So explain what that last line meant. Once you read the couple of times, it's pretty clear. So the isle chad the tshuva la almanas v'kosher kein lachutz v'chad the tshuva lachutz l'chuded. What do you know? I thought it's pretty obvious, but you have to explain it to me. You can't. My brother once was taking an exam in political science in Yeshiva College, maybe almost 40 years ago, and the answer. So he just wrote a thing. If you don't know this answer by now, I'm not going to tell you. I assume he did not get credit for it. So just because I said it's Pasha, it doesn't mean you get to go out with that. Giving, what does it mean? The Islay Chad that Shuval Almanas Vekosha Kein Lachutz. The Chad that Shuval Lachutz Vachudet.
If we say that.
Translate the words. Before you.
Words mean that he has one teshuva for Almanas that
Exactly. It wasn't a trick question. It's just like, it's not. The point is, Ramban has two, the Rami Akiva has two arguments against Rabbi Eliezer. One of them is in an Almanas case, and if you have a problem with Almanas, Kavachomer or Kaman Chutz. In other words, if you argue an Almanas, you certainly argue Chutz can't be the case. That seems to be the working assumption of pretty much everyone, although it may not be true, that if you argue by Almanas against Rabbi Eliezer, you certainly argue on Chutz. So any tshuva that proves that Almanas doesn't work certainly has, just by definition, proven that Chutz doesn't work. And then, which is not actually maybe fully true, but. And then, and one tshuva that only works on Chutz. Now, just let's stop and pause for 1 second here. Why do I think that it's not necessarily true? Why does a tshuva reject the Almanas not necessarily a response prove that Chutz is wrong? Fine? Well, so, you're correct, but I would say this differently. That Almanas, that if you hold, it is possible that you hold that something is not krisus because it leads to a bad result. Right? We've seen two of those. And those two of those bad results always come about under what circumstances? Where did the two come about? By Almanas. Right? Because it's an odd way, because the second marriage doesn't not take all the resources of the husband in the first one. So it's possible that Almanas produces a bad result, that it's not that it's not krisus, it's not that it's not a sheer begay. The Torah would never allow gerushin in such a circumstance, because that would be a bad result. There would be shlach l'takala. But it might be that you could still have sheer begay. So the Ramban doesn't say that here. I don't think he says, somebody says that, makes the point, that's even possible to flip. Maybe he says it later. I think he does say that later. But for now, he's just saying, look, On sugya grounds, we've always assumed that if you argue on Almanas, you certainly argue on Chutz. So if you say Almanas doesn't work, certainly Chutz doesn't work for you, because that's what the opening passage of the Gemara on the Mishnah suggests, right? That if they argue by Almanas, they're all mode that Chutz is no good. But if they argue by Chutz, but Almanas is good according to everybody. So it's based upon that, the Ramban says. He's got one tshuva against Almanas, which is kolel Chutz, and one tshuva that's just directly on Chutz. So the lama lo yashiv kol ma'adislay. Why can't Rabbi Akiva, pull out his knife, his gun, his machete, every weapon that he has in the arsenal, pull out, because he disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer across the board. So why does the Gemara say that Rabbi Akiva ichutzira leilosef chutzi almanas leilosef almanas? So even without the last part of the kasha, what's the problem in the Gemara's language that's bothering the Ramban? And if you don't pick up on that, I wouldn't pick up on that until I saw his parents. And I had no idea what his parents was. So I started to look at the words carefully. Shimmy?
I think it's that he's asking why the Gemara is trying to distinguish between Rabbi Akiva's answers. Is it the same little things when he thinks they're working together?
No, I know that. But it's something about the language that's bothering him, right? The Gemara is assuming that what? I might say the he. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, ichut svira lei, I almanas svira lei. It makes it sound like if Rabbi Akiva holds the machlokas by chutz, or if Rabbi Akiva holds that chutz doesn't work, or if Rabbi Akiva holds that almanas doesn't work. So Ramban says, what do you mean? Rabbi Akiva holds chutz doesn't work, and he hopes that almanas doesn't work. So the answer is, pull out your gun and your knife. You've got to fight everywhere, because they disagree with both. You'd rise against both. So that's what was bothering. Rabbi Akiva, ichutz sira lei. If Rabbi Akiva holds that chutz is no good, if Rabbi Akiva holds that almanas is no good, now, if you haven't picked up on that, which I did at first glance, you don't understand what the answer is. Yes, if I...
Why does lei have to
Did you read the Ramban?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that his answer? That is his answer. Firstly, also, normally when you say Sfira Lei, in other words, the gut reading is about what his... Rabbi Akiva is coming here...
You mean to me, does it mean that what?
I know I understand that, but the point is Rabbi Akiva is coming to argue on Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, what you're saying is only sort of it's secondary. Now, if that's why I'm not going to take a stand here between, you know, I'm not going to stick my head between two mountains, the Ramban and the Rashba. But the starting point has to be, what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? And that's what Rabbi Akiva is coming to argue on. Now, the starting point is Rabbi Akiva is coming to argue Rabbi Eliezer. So what is Rabbi Akiva's position? Now, obviously, what he's responding to is then going to be based upon what he perceived Rabbi Eliezer held. The Ramban's kasha, the Rashba's maskana, is Yisriolei means what does Rabbi Akiva hold when it doesn't work? You're saying, why can't it mean that? Well, that's the teretz of the Ramban. Read the teretz, Shimon. The ikar lemeimar.
The havli kaparet. Yisriolei the bechutz itamar de Rabbi Eliezer.
That's the key line. Yisriolei what? The bechutz itamar de Rabbi Eliezer. That's exactly what you're answering, right? Right? Where was Rabbi Eliezer's position standing? Not what is Rabbi Akiva's position, but what did he hold of where Rabbi Eliezer's position was standing? And what was the machlokes of that? That's exactly your teretz.
Can you say the name of the Ramban? That sentence
of
the Dilma that he follows up with.
One second. Oh,
Dilma.
Did I get that right? One second. Or is that later? Hold on. One second. Is it which one? No, that's the later one. That's the later one. Inami hachi kamrinan ibechutz sfirale de pligi kamastis le tani chutz los chutz lamenas vibeamenas sfirale de pligi. So he should have asked the other one, because the havamina was Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva himself would think that the machlokus is only by one. And so that is your reading. The third approach. The kasha is what one reading. Your approach is the third approach. So now let's take the second approach. The Ikal Neymar again, the Haki Kaparet. The original Kasha.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, what's the way the Ramban is reading the Gemara and the way the Rashba does read the Gemara in the end? The Gemara says, hey, Rabbi Akiva, if he holds that Chutz doesn't work, and that's why he's arguing Rabbi Eliezer, why doesn't he ask a Kasha from Chutz? If he holds that Almanas doesn't work, and that's why he's arguing Rabbi Eliezer, let him ask a Kasha from Almanas. Mashal for the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva argues only in one. The machlokus is limited to one case, either by chutz or almanas. Because if Rabbi Akiva argues by both, what's the Gemara's question? The reason Rabbi Akiva brings a raya against chutz and a raya against almanas is because Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer on chutz and he disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer on almanas. So what do you mean? If Rabbi Akiva holds chutz is no good, if Rabbi Akiva holds almanas is no good, you know, pick one or the other. What if he holds both are no good? That was the clash against the Ramban Shita. It sounds from the way the Gemara formulates the question on the Akiva that Rabbi Akiva holds of one or he holds of the other. Where the Ramban asserted in the above paragraph, Rabbi Akiva holds by both, it doesn't work, and he's arguing Rabbi Akiva by both. At the machlokus is across the board. So the teretz is, the third approach, the first approach is the way we just read it, which is the clash. The third approach is to say, oh, hold on. Are you in the second teretz or the last one? Yes. So kashali, b'har Rabbi Akiva, bein machutz, bein v'almanas, palik v'ave. The kash, in other words, the first line implies ichutz for elos ichutz, almanas for elos almanas. Which one does Rabbi Akiva disagree with? Does he disagree with Rabbi Eliezer on chutz? And let him ask from chutz. Does he disagree with almanas? Let him ask from almanas. The Mashman says he only disagrees on one of them. Because if he disagreed on both of them, it wouldn't be a question. You're asking me, why bring up a raya against chutz and bring a raya against almanas? Either you argue, does Rabbi Akiva argue with Eliezer on chutz, or does he argue with almanas? Well, the answer is both. So what's the first question? The Ramban, either Ramban just said in the previous above paragraph, that he argues on both. Where are you saying that? Where are you?
At the second line, beginning of the third.
in the third line, I'm sorry. No, you're already in the second, you're already in the first parak, the second reading. Hold on, we're not there yet. The Ika Lameimar we're starting. We're starting again, Shani. The Ika Lameimar, the Hachi Kaparak. This is the Gemara's question, which will avoid the Kasha against me, the Ramban. Okay? Isirelei.
Isirelei is a foot, it's a hard job we have there. Dilma be Amenas, more than we can get Batalit.
So much. Let's stop. I before we get to what the teretz of the Gemara is, what is the teretz of the Gemara as we have it? It's Rabbi Akiva heard. There are those who said Rabbi Eliezer's position was by chutz. There are those who says his position was by almanas, and therefore he brings a raya for each one. He brings a kasha against each one. So here the Ramban is saying that the way to read the opening line in the Gemara is not isvira lei. Yeah, Fred, I think both of these are actually giving your teretz. It's what follows is different. So the first teretz is. In other words, we're no longer talking about what Rabbi Akiva holds himself. We're talking about what Rabbi Akiva thought Rabbi Eliezer said. So yes, Rabbi Akiva himself clearly holds both don't work. But why? What did he think that Rabbi Eliezer said? So if he thought that Rabbi Eliezer said "Dibachutz itmar Rabbi Eliezer," maybe Rabbi Eliezer would be modeh by Amanas that the get is batel. So why do you have to ask him a kasha again from Amanas? Maybe he agrees by that. Now notice something very strange here, right? Ephraim, as we said before, we thought until now that if chutz doesn't work, kavachomer, if Amanas doesn't work, kavachomer chutz doesn't work. But here the Ramban is saying no. Maybe it's possible that Amanas does not work, but chutz does. So in parallel, the Gemara can say. In parallel, the Gemara can say that you, Rabbi Akiva, why are you bringing a raya from chutz and almanas? Chutz might be the Rabbi Eliezer agrees with you that almanas doesn't work. Dilba almanas mode that deget batelu. Right? Namely, mipirchad Rabbi Akiva basraisa the kashla almanas the lo lechutz. Now you'll notice that the Ramban has changed without, by sleight of hand, he has changed the rules of engagement here. How has he done so? Well, when he said in his kasha, "V'islechan that shuvan amanas v'kosher kein lechutz," what did he say that meant, Jake? Right. In other words, if he holds amanas is no good, kal v'chomer if you have a tshuva against amanas working, certainly chutz doesn't work. Without even sort of explaining. The Ramban just says, oh, no, I was wrong on that. It's possible because of that kasha. The kasha of she goes and marries another man, has children, and then gets divorced to win her, and then goes and marries this other guy, that nimsa get batel uvanem mamzer lemafreya, that's an only an almanas problem. The Gemara just pointed out, lemaisa, it's not a problem by chutz, because by chutz there would be no mazer shayla, because the second marriage dissolves completely the first marriage, she can marry the third guy. So here, all of a sudden, this is why the Ramban, I feel it's not fair to you. By sleight of hand, the Ramban all of a sudden, no. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only said it, only are assessed by chutz, by not by almanas, which is totally against what he said earlier, but he didn't explain to me he's rejecting that. Okay. And why would he hold that way? Mipirchad Rabbi Akiva Basra, I said, the kash, almanas, the low chutz. The East, you really go ahead. Okay, so that part we understand. That's kind of intuitive. That's what we would expect. Now, the Ramban, as I just said, by sleight of hand, changes what his assumption is. Why does he do that, and why is that important? Ephraim?
That he wouldn't have a kasha, So learning is a valid swing of the Halakha against the availability. I don't know why you had to put forth that suggestion in the first place before you got here.
I think that it actually is very important. I think that the I think by positing that the teretz initially that the teretz of almanas is a kal v'chomer l'chutz, you essentially raise the possibility. If Rabbi Akiva disagrees by both, what should he have done effectively? If Rabbi Akiva disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer by both, what should he have done? Just quote the Almanas case. See, just quote the Almanas case and you kill two birds with one stone and you don't even get into the question. In order to avoid that aspect of the question, the Ramban says, oh, by the way, just because you're v'raya against Almanas doesn't necessarily mean you're v'raya against Chutz. And therefore the Gemara can say, if you hold Rabbi Eliezer holds by one, why are you asking by the kasha of the other? Not what you hold Rabbi Akiva, what Rabbi Eliezer holds. But you have to shift that. Both terutzim are going to shift from thinking in the kasha that, oh, svira lei, what does Rabbi Akiva himself hold? To what Sira Lei, what Rabbi Akiva himself holds, that Rabbi Eliezer holds. But you also have to shift this particular assumption. Yoni?
Also, this assumption is coming from what's exactly not the Ramban's reading?
Like, no, you can't ignore the fact that the Ramban is not. Nothing in the first Ramban says. Challenges the premise that if you are makel by chutz, kal v'chomer you're makel by almanas, and if you're machmer by almanas, you're certainly machmer by chutz. Nothing in the first paragraph, the upper paragraph, challenges that assumption. And the question is whether you the bottom can draw a line. And the Ramban in the first paragraph says, we don't draw a line. You're in, you're all in, or you're all out.
So I'm saying the assumption, it's not that it's incompatible with what the Ramban is saying, but its origins are in the reading that's not the Ramban's.
What origins are?
That if almanas is probably a kal v'chomer chutz.
No, but again, that reading, the Ramban doesn't deny that reading in the Gemara.
I understand what I'm saying.
You're saying
it's an idea that's from a different reading.
Yes, because the idea is valid, but it doesn't have to be what the text is talking about. Yes, agreed. Okay, so that was the kasha of the Gemara. Now, what's the answer then? Uparit Shemi?
Uparit Rabbi Akiva
Shmiele, he heard.
The Igaditani, Rabbi Yazar Chutz, the Igaditani Amenas. And you put it, the Matnitin, the Rabbi Yazar Chutz.
Okay, he heard that there was a machlokes. The Ihu.
The Ihu, Palagatra, Atari.
Atarbayu, Velosvirale.
Velosvirale, the Lord Rabbanan, Bechadamina.
Right, so he argues on both of them and assumes the Rabbanan are not moda by even one of them. Now the truth is that in itself doesn't mean necessarily, you have to add another piece here. If he holds that the Rabbanan are not moda at all, can he not hold like either the Mishnah or Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda? He can hold like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. Also, right, he's not stating explicitly, he's assuming Rabbi Eliezer is makel on both, and the Chachamim are not modan either. So Rabbi Akiva disagrees. The Iu Palagat Havai, of Velo Sri, of the Rabbi Chachamim, Umishim Hachi,
Parach Lachos,
Tore
Pirachit.
Yafil Eliezer,
Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda,
so that's why he asked Kashis on both. And you notice, by the way, he's coming back, Parach Lachos, Tore Pirachit. Is it really true? It's a little odd. That's the first approach to the Ramban. Inami.
Inami. Okay, come in. Ibachot, virale de chidi, kemat nitin, adikan lechot. Los yechot, velo amenas. De ka, sabedetcha, de amenas, modi, rabbanan.
Okay, so what, hold on. So what is... So what is this teretz? Inami hacha kamrina. Iba chutz sirele de pligi. Kemas nisen de katani chutz. Lo siv chutz velo almanas. The only question is, how is this different than the previous kasha? The previous teretz. Right, this is, again, this is not iba chutz sirele, this is not what Rabbi Akiva holds. It's ibachutz svirale de pligi. So the first teretz says ibachutz itmar de Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, in the first approach, Rabbi Akiva is the Gemara assumes Rabbi Akiva is responding dafka to Rabbi Eliezer, that he's critiquing Rabbi Eliezer's position. And the question is, what did he think Rabbi Eliezer's position was? Was Rabbi Eliezer's position chutz or amanas? And just ask the question to the one that you think Rabbi Eliezer's position is. You hold that both are no good. But whichever Rabbi Eliezer's position is, attack that one, because he might agree with you on the other. Here, it's not iba chutz sirele de itmar Rabbi Eliezer, but rather chutz sirele de pligi. In other words, the first one is, what does Rabbi Akiva assume Rabbi Eliezer Shita is? Forgetting about what the Chachamim hold. We don't not care about that. And the second is, which way was Rabbi Akiva goreis the machlokas? Was he goreis the machlokas by chutz? Was he goreis the machlokas by almanas? Inami again, hachi kabrina, iba chutz really pligi, kimasis the tani chutz, losif chutz, vamanas, the kasal kadaita, vamanas mod rabbanu. The iabanas really the pligi, hamod rabbanas about chutz, so why ask that question? Uparek, what's the answer, Shirley?
Uparek rabbi Eliezer, tnahi, umihu rabbi Akiva, vadoaz in the rabbanan, pligi, afkin the vamanas, mishimahate parasatarbai.
Ooh. So what the kasha was here, the teretz is rejecting the premise of the question. The premise of the question was what? That they argue by one and agree by the other. And they wanted to know which way Rabbi Akiva heard the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and why didn't he just respond to that one? And the answer is no. The answer is that Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Eliezer on both. And the only question is, what was the scope of Rabbi Eliezer's Shita? Is this so substantively different than the first teretz? I don't think so. It's just the language. Right? The first one, Isi Ralei, if Rabbi Akiva holds to Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is, versus Isi Ralei, what the Chachamim's, what Rabbi Yosef and the Rabbanan's machlokas is. Okay. No. Skipped a line and go to the Ode Shataritz.
The Ode Shataritz. The Orcha de Gemara who laf shuye my davar acher lomar shedaylo betaymata haymata shamina be hanzikin my davar acher yod beferish elus varim betrachos fiobim kol zacher diber avin zal adam avam efshita sfiyos.
Okay. So. So what is the Ramban's final teretz? Firstly, the words my davarach appear in the Gemara?
No.
No. So what is it saying? He's borrowing the concept of my davaracha. The Gemara frequently asks my davaracha, which means, why did you need two responses? Like, one should have been enough. And the answer is to explain to you what each one will give you. So that's all the Gemara is saying here. It's not talking about Rabbi Akiva's position. It's just another way of asking. If one teretz worked with chutz and one teretz worked with amanas, the Gemara is asking, why do you need both? What does one teretz add that the other didn't? And the answer is, in the Gemara, because Rabbi Akiva holds both are rejected. Why can't... So the Gemara's answer is, no, Rabbi Akiva heard that there are some people who said this way, some people said that way. It's not a... This is basically telling you the question wasn't the question in the first place. It's a deflating kind of teretz. It means it was a silly tasha, initially. Is this a story that's told? It's probably not true, but back to Beis Halevi or Chaim, that... Somebody said, you know, the difference is that someone comes to Beis Halevi and they ask a kasha, and Beis Halevi would give a great teretz, and everybody was happy because it turned out that the kasha was a great kasha, and Beis Halevi had a wonderful teretz. But someone would come to Reb Chaim with a question, and Reb Chaim would just explain to him why it wasn't the question in the first place, based upon a basic, you know, understanding, and simple understanding of what's going on. So, anyway, that's like what the last answer is. It's like, oh no, it wasn't really a question. Right? Don't take the Gemara too seriously in its language. Okay, but then the Ramban left in the last language, Uladivra Rabbeinu Zal, and maybe you read it, Uladivra Rabbeinu Zal?
Where is this?
Last,
Uladivra Rabbeinu Zal, Hadam Rabban Pichitus Yosef.
Okay. So what does that mean? For who? For in other words, if you don't read my way, that the argument, the Chav argue both, then you don't have a problem in the first place. Yes, Daniel.
Yeah, I was yesterday, and I didn't see the share on a couple of lessons, I got a chance to look into it. Did we talk about, why the Ramban is doing this?
He tells you in the previous paragraph. He tells you, he thinks that the Machlokas HaTanaim, all those Tanaim, who are, you know, arguing, and I even suggested in Seder, that maybe those Tanaim are the Chacham of the Mishnah, they're arguing both. They're not really distinguishing between the two. And what that also means is that that's what he says.
He prefers not to get to this
idea. Yeah, and he says that if those Tanaim disagreed with one another, why did he need to attack Rabbi Eliezer? In other words, if one of those Tanoim held that Almanat, right? So that's his question. Why do they, in other words, it sounds like they're in complete disagreement with Rabbi Eliezer. So in other words, he's saying that some of their questions work better for Chutz, some of Almanat, but that doesn't reflect that they only argue on one versus the other. It's just that particular Teretz, or that Pasha against Rabbi Eliezer, you know, was attacking on one piece of the other, but not that they actually disagree with one another. So.
It's like so complicated
actually doing it
this
again. Yes, especially on Daf Pehe, and even here, he says, it's Baba Pshitus Piyosa.
So what does the Rebbe say about the question he's asking about the different questions are asked for the fourth time in a different one?
So I think that he would read an effect like the Teretz here, which is that those Tanoim were aware, again, if you assume the Rabbana and the Mishnah were an earlier Rabbana, a generation earlier, that they were aware that there were different ways of reading it, and so they're just like Rabbi Akiva does, they're just as the way the Teretz would work for Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva wasn't sure where the Machlokas was, so he attacked them both fronts. So those Tanaim were just choosing one front to attack on. But it doesn't reflect their own personal opinions. You know, when Rabbi Yossi HaGalidi gets a particular approach, it's not because he thinks that the Machlokas is bedafka by almanas, but not by chutz. It's just here's a case that if the machlokas is by almanas, this could show you this would be akasha against Rabbi Eliezer, right? But if it's such a good kasha against Rabbi Eliezer, then the maskana.
Can we just say that the time
what the Ramban says in his maskana. You have to say. Basically, the Amoraim are imposing their construct upon the Tanoim. Yeah. Which might very well be the case.
Arson, yeah. I'm saying, right? He says, Where does Ramban do?
The Tanoim on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the four Tanoim who are responding. And in fact, the Gemara is imposing our construct of Almanas or Chutz on them. Okay. Any further questions? All right, so if not, the next topic, and we're just going to plan to do the Gemara, is that we have to sort of work through the issue of the definition of krisus. I think for the moment, while we're going to come back to the definition of marriage in the sugya, and it's a really, really, really interesting topic, the part we skipped over with Hei Beis Ered Beis, and there's a sugya in Kiddushin, the third part, for the moment, I would like to finish up krisus. So now we're moving away from krisus of a ideological, the conceptual, I'll call the sheer beget krisus. Right? The krisus that implies that fundamentally the gerushin is lacking in something. As opposed to a krisus where the get is not lacking. I submit it this way. Right now we've been talking about a situation where the get itself is not krisus, right? Because there are exceptions in the get. Whereas what we're moving to now, I don't know if this is the right term, are situations where the get is an absolute get. It's not there to everybody, but it's not a gerushin. He hasn't effectively severed his bonds with her because of these external conditions that are attached to it. And another way of saying that is her relationship to every other man in terms of Eishes Ish is the same. It's all mutter. And there's no tzai either by other men. It's not like a menashe can't marry this guy. No. Her status with respect to all other men who are not people with kedushin will be tosin with her when she's divorced, her relationship to them is all equal. Right? There's no she or beget. It's just the gerushin, not gerushin gemurim, because, you know, it can't be told, you know, she's still tied to him. So, another, and think about the following. If you say, Megudash, Samanash, Lotinasi, Laploni, she marries anybody else, for all intents and purposes, she's not tied to him. Whereas, in this case, it doesn't matter who she marries, she's still tied to him in a certain way. In real life, you know what, even though it's not an impediment in the get at all, you know what makes a marriage bond not totally severable, that doesn't make it possible to have krisus? Very good, Shimon. We got it. You know, we hope that everybody gets married, everybody should have a long, happy marriage, but when a couple gets married, they don't have children. They can divorce, go their separate ways, and they are never connected whatsoever again. But once you have progeny, said you were forever connected, even if you were halachically divorced. Now, we don't say, therefore, it's not krisus. Look, the truth is, we do believe that on a sociological level. I do believe that very strongly. That I'm not suggesting this should be legally codified, but on a moral level, parents who are struggling in their marriage, people who are struggling in their marriage, should require a much higher threshold of getting out of that marriage, of divorcing when there are children, as opposed to when there aren't. Doesn't mean that if there's abuse or horrible things going on and it's disaster, it's not always clear what's worse for the children, but it means that you need to work much, much harder to achieve something. And if your marriage is not horrible, it's just that you're not feeling so happy, it's not perfect to you. It's like, well, look, if the two of you are cool with that and you have no children, that's fine. But once you have children, it's not fair to them. When you bring children to this world, you have an enormous responsibility to them. Yes, Daniel?
I was going to ask a question back just on this. I've heard stories of friends of mine here who are rooting for the day that their parents are trying to get divorced because life is so hard for them.
I'm not saying that in every case. Again, there can be a marriage that is so bad. And there's no question.
It's not abuse, just like there's always tense in the house.
Correct. Well, that means that the house is not a safe place. Mm-hmm. Right? The house is not a safe place. And so there are, but I think that one also, you don't realize sometimes even situations like that for children, when the parents get divorced, even when they're adult children, it can be very unsettling. So you're right, there are situations where it is better. Right? The Gemara is an expression, She'ein adam dor ibnachash b'kfifa. which in the Gemara's context tends to be one-sided. It's represented from the man's side and so on. But the reality is, and I don't think Chazal would deny this, this can go both ways. This can go both ways, where one of the two spouses is just impossible to live with. And there are many situations where you know, it is better. There's a reason why the Torah does not prohibit divorce. Right? We are, Baruch Hashem, for many reasons, funny to say, we are not Catholic. So bottom line is that divorce sometimes, and we could joke and say the Kodesh Baruch Hu was buried for the Machla, but sometimes it is a Refuah. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but the truth is, even in those situations, it's still not Krisus. It's still not Krisus. You're forever tied together because of your children. It's the way it is. So the only...
My question on the Gemara.
I'm sorry?
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
You were saying that you got the whole idea of that we were just doing excluding somebody was a soul somehow in get. Whereas what we're talking about is not a soul in get, it's a soul in
Gerishim. Yeah, I don't like those words. Those are not good words.
You can also say it. Because what part of your talking about is not if you wrote it in get, but also if you just...
No. That's the wrong word. I'm not finding the, you know... One is really a pgam in the very definition. There's the very definition of a get is haret muteres lachalada. So whether you write it or say it, you know, divorce means, in other words, I think another way of saying it might be this way. There are two things that a gerushin accomplishes. Number one, it removes the isser on the woman to all other men. Number two, it severs the connection between this man and this woman. Now, what Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham discussed in the Mishnah, certainly a chutz clause, is fundamentally one which says the woman is not really muteris, is not muteris achalada. Right? There's an element of the hektesh, of kiddushin, that remains there. Whereas, the kinds of tzon that we're talking about, wherever you can put amanas, shalotinasi, in whichever box you want, you can define it as, we look at the practical results, she can't marry so-and-so, so that means she's not muteris to so-and-so, even though he didn't say it. In Iran, we parents call them chutz mi so and so. And by the way, you should know there's a very interesting machlokas of Rishonim, which sort of should be discussed in this context. I haven't really thought it through, but your question is prompting me to finally sort of get the categories a little bit. What happens if you say Iran, we parents lachal adam amanashu tehe asura laplonis? So that's a machlokas. It seems to be the Rush and the Ramah. The Abramah. It's quoted. The Torah quotes the Ramah, who says it's no good. Now, what was the formula? Hold on. I have to see the exact formulation. I don't think. Where is it quoted?
What's that word, Asura there on me? Is it like a Nether or something?
I don't know. That's now, as I'm quoting it, I'm even struggling over that. Where does the Rush say it?
It's it's hard to say.
How are you even making? Wait, the problem is it's not going to be the citation here, but I bet you that the Karban Asana will quote it probably. Hold on. So the Maskana is Bechol Amanash Sharabana Be Amanash Lo Tinas Amanash Lo Tibali Amanash Lo Tiyem Amanash Shalo Tiyem Muteres Taploni Kevin Shish Amanash Tanai Hav Avashari La Alma. And I bet you, don't tell me there are no notes on the bottom on this. Oy vey. So I don't know. I don't remember. It's quoted by the Tur, and it's probably one of the other Rishonim make a note of it. So there's a machlokus by Almanashlo tehe tia muteres laploni. Arayat megreshesli nani arayat muteres lachaladam. Almanashlo tehe asura laploni.
Why is that different?
So that's the machlokus. Why is that different than a chutzvi ploni?
No, I don't know. Almanashlo.
Well, I guess we're both taking opposite sides of the argument here. When you say Amanash Tehasur Ploni, Asur Mishem what? If you say Amanash Tehasur Ploni, it's like any other condition. Do or don't do this. I'm articulating the position of the Ramah. You have to figure out what is the Rush's position. So it might be worth thinking about, not right now, does that play into the formulation I'm trying to sort of present here. But the idea that a chutz clause, I'm going to leave out the Amanash Tehasur part for the moment, that a chutz clause basically means you weren't matir the isser. You didn't remove her the kedusha. You didn't dissolve the kedushin completely. Whereas You've dissolved the Kiddushin completely, but you know she's still tied to him in a certain way. Not else that she has still an element of the Kiddushin didn't dissolve. It's just that for the get to be Chal and to stay Chal, she's always controlled by him in some way. It's a very, I mean, how is what different from Almanas?
How is that sort of plummy Almanas shit?
So Tishiyayin Olam?
No, Almanas.
So Lotinasi?
I'm still wondering why Almanas Shehayas Sura Plummy is different than Almanas Lotinasi.
The reason the Rama would say that is because what you've just said, Arant Luteris Lachaladam, Amanash Lotein Luteris Laploni. So he's saying that means Chutz. What does it mean? You're Mutter to everybody, but you're not Mutter to him. That means you're Mutter to everybody but him. The question I'm more told by what the Rush thinks is what is the Mutter or Usher there? You formulate Amanash. But the substance of the Amanas says, you're still married to me with respect to so-and-so. Amanas Shalotinasi Leploni doesn't mean that because we know, that's easy to see, the Gemara says, because it's Nus. It says, it's not his wife, it's like, he's totally bad, he's his aunt, he can't marry. Okay, so whereas I think that, clear, but putting that case aside, Amanas Shalotishti Yayin Le'olam means he still exerts control over. Right? And in order to be gerushin, it has to be krisis, which means the husband, look, by definition, the husband not exerts control in a sense of power, but when he's mekadeshar, there's an issue for her to marry anybody else. When he divorces her, she can, now there's no issue for anybody else, but that's not enough. It has to be anything that would tie her together permanently is not krisis.
Remember that something to do with the marriage, though. I mean, the marriage is about, the marriage is the kiddushah. You only be for me and for nobody else. There's no like part of the marriage that's like, how to control you and
try correct, to correct.
It's actually has nothing to do with marriage. It has to do with, it seems like it's a Xeris concept about like for me to be priestess, which is different than dissolving a marriage. It's just like, I can't be connected to you
correct.
Anyway.
Correct. That's why I'm trying to figure out if you're correct. In other words, no matter what your particular a person's particular egalitarian views and views of Chazal wouldn't. I mean, I know the Rama might say. I mean, look, the problem is you can in the Gemara talk about, you know, do you let your wife leave the house or not?
Okay, but this is not talking about.
It's not halachically
separate things that you're like.
Correct.
You're making a different halachic declaration that just ties her to you in a way that really has nothing to do with your status of being married.
Correct. I mean.
It's like you said to her, like I'm trying to give an example, like people who are not married, who one person somehow is able to sort of manipulate the other person halachically.
Right.
It's like that.
Right. No, there's nothing in halacha that says that a husband is allowed to control his wife's comings and goings. He can decide to divorce her if she doesn't like what she's doing, right. But he has nothing in halacha that says, I may command you to do so-and-so. I mean, there may be a din, you know, we talk about Isha is high b'chvod baila, that some concept comes up. Nonetheless, that doesn't mean he controls her.
He can't say you can't eat X food for us. Like, right? That's not
well, he can't say you can't eat X food, period.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So correct.
It's nothing to do with the marriage. It's a tanai. It's exerting control over her, which can boomerang to affect her being mutter, because it is tied to that. But interestingly enough, Ephraim, did you say this to me, or it's just said? If a man suspects that his wife was having an affair with so and so, and he's willing to divorce her, but he doesn't want her to marry so and so, absolutely not tolerate that. So you could give a get almanas. That's what the mechaber would say. What is the Rama's solution from Ranashra Naigo?
That you should divorce her unconditionally, but tell the Beis Din about this.
All right, so yes, but there's another solution. I thought it was in the Ramah, but maybe not. Is that?
I don't know. I just mentioned it.
Did you come up with that on your own?
Yeah.
That is really darn impressive because I just saw it in one of the Rishonim. That was really good.
What's the solution?
His solution was to have her, divorce her, and then have her take a neder or shvuah or whatever, however you were formulated. Al das Rabin, not to marry this guy. whatever it means, it's a sugya in the fourth parak in Gittin. It's a neder that you can't cut a taras in the dharma. So you may, she makes an irrevocable vow that she won't marry the guy.
Does she really have God on that? If she wanted to be divorced and she was going to do anything in her to get divorced, and you were basically putting a gun to her head and saying you have to, I don't think that would.
That's kind of social though. I mean, is it not good? And then before that, she's not divorced.
No, no, I'm saying no. You give her a divorce, but you could say, the answer is yeah. Listen. Here's the issue. Now, if a woman is not generally, let's talk in general. You know, there are sort of two philosophies on this. I remember someone when I wrote my article a long time ago about, I think it was in Tradition, about Hafkas Kiddushin. So I made a note in a footnote that in a healthy marriage, if one party wants out, in principle, the other party is allowed to demand what they want, right? Well, we don't want. We could agree. We could argue on this issue, and I think there are different positions in a marriage where a woman is not really entitled to a get, and let's say not entitled neither in the strict sense of kriya, or even in the cases where you use hachakas to rabbi natan because we're choshesh to kriya. In other words, let me just go by that. We're doing get, and you might as well. You should be aware of this. There's a major machlokas harishonim. Under what circumstances we will force a husband to give a get. Rabbi Tam was very machmir and held that only when the Mishnah says kofen osa lahotzeh with kofen. Many Rishonim held when the Mishnah says yotzi v'yitein suba, that's kriya already. But Rabbi Tam says no, it doesn't say kofen. But we have something called arachakas to Rabbi Tam. It's short of cherem, but basically it's made up a person's life very unpleasant socially until they'll give a get.
That's what the reason for marriage.
Well, they have no powers of kriya, so no. But I think well, the question—that's an interesting question. That might only be in cases where the kofen. I think those are cases of kofen because cherem. We say cherem is, as the Gemara's expression, you can't say cherem is kriya. It's command and knock out the kufse the l'shavke l'glime is the Gemara's expression. You grab him by a certain part of the anatomy, so let's grow the whole thing that he's holding. So it's not cherem. So I don't know how you want to classify that. But I think most of the RCA based on cases are clear cases, at the very least, because the husband doesn't want to be married anymore. Because these are not.
So you don't even have to even put them in there.
You could, I think so. No, I think. I'm not, this is my area of specialty. But once a husband, I believe once a husband is not living with his wife and doesn't want to live with his wife, and he's just trying to extort her over the get, at
and
that point.
Not cooperating with the Beis Din.
I think those are ground. Well, for not cooperating with the Beis Din alone, you can put in chayim. He won't come to Beis Din, he won't talk to Beis Din. But I think at those grounds are our grounds for kriya because the marriage is over. He's not something he's saying, I want to be married. He's saying, I want this. At that point, once they're not living together, he's mechuyav lagarish. But in a situation where a husband says, look, I don't want to get divorced. You want a divorce, this is my price. I don't think that's an inherently unfair, at both ways. You know, I don't think that's an inherently unfair thing. Right? And I'll say it the other way. A husband. Because neither party isn't. The only thing that would be unfair, that we would say in Gerushin, is when one party is entitled to something that the other party isn't, assuming neither's done anything wrong.
There's an emotion. How often is the case on the ground that the husband, often the husband could be the wife, is just very spiteful and just wants to. He knows that she wants to marry somebody else. He's really spiteful and wants that not to happen.
No. What, no. But there are situations where. Unfortunately, my sin before you, where one spouse comes to the other and just says they're very unhappy, and the other spouse is just caught totally blind, right? They haven't done anything wrong, and that person says not because they suspect she wants to marry X or so and so, and getting divorced overturns both of their lives, and he says, listen, I don't want to get divorced. It's so again, I'm not interested in getting divorced, and she wants a divorce, or vice versa, he wants to get a divorce. And she doesn't want to. I don't think that either party is entitled to get or receive a get, give a get in that case. And if the party that is in effect the agreed party who wants to remain in the marriage says that's fine, but this is my price. You want something you're not entitled to.
And if they can't afford it, they're trapped, and that's
totally ethical. Well, the question is it ethical when your spouse has behaved appropriately, has made a commitment, has given you often the best years of his or her life, and all friends, and well, I'm not happy now. You're not abusing me. You're not me.
It's the principle of consent. It's etched into like my Western guides.
So if you believe in divorce, again, the question is, if you committed, you made a contract, you made a commitment, the question is, what is that commitment? Right? When you enter into a business relationship, you should negotiate the terms of the breakup when you enter it. So what is, in a context of Jewish marriage, where there is no gerushin bal karcho or bal karcha, you know, unless one of the parties is derelict, is negligent, is abusive. But assuming both parties, nobody's acting what we'd say clearly inappropriately, when the assumption is that neither party is entitled to force their way out of a marriage, so that's like we enter a business partnership and you want to get out, and the terms of the contract were, well, you want to get out, you're the one who's going to have to bear the brunt of certain things.
How far would you take that? If I said, like, she goes, like, would
it
really be important for me?
Let me ask a different question. Supposing you have a husband, and it could go either way, it doesn't make a difference. A wife wants a get, a husband wants to give a get, and neither entitled to. Do we make the spouse accept or give the get? The answer is no.
Yeah,
the woman wants out of this marriage. So I said, I don't want out.
Yeah.
There's no price that I want. I don't want to give a get. I want to be married. I made a commitment to you. You made a commitment to me. There's no good reason, you know, objectively, that either of us should say we want to get out of the marriage. I'm not interested in giving you a get. I'm not asking you for anything. I don't want to give a get. I want to be married. No. No. Our cases, almost all those cases are husbands who've done things wrong, husbands who don't want to be married, husbands who've gone and remarried. No. No. No, that's at most a tactical point. Some of them have, you know, the most prominent abusive cases. Married someone else already.
But sometimes they actually want to be married.
But even in those cases, there are cases where we look at it and say, this is awful, the man's abusive, the man's done this, he says, oh, I want one more chance. That's not
the basic premise that we learned in our fellowship is that staying in a marriage where you're chained and don't want to is a form of abuse.
I think if you go look at the cases, show me a case where, oh, the marriage is fine, just one, the wife wants that. I don't think Ora handles those cases. We could talk about
what?
Listen, if someone's spouse is so unhappy, I don't think in most cases, well, I would say the following, certainly. If a man's wife is so unhappy in the marriage, I don't think it's in his interest to stay in that marriage. Because the truth is, No, listen to me, because the truth is, it's not so hard for him to go and remarry. Right? So in that case, we could much more fast account them, listen, just give her a get, because your prospects are fairly good. That's the way that's the demographics are. When a man just feels like he wants to cast his wife off because, you know, they've turned 40 and he wants to trade her in for 220s, as we might say. Yeah, I'm joking, but for 120, right? Should we be so fast to grant the husband that right? He's taken the best years of her life. Her prospects for remarriage are dim. She's 40 years old. She's got 3 kids. Even if he's supporting financially. Really? Is that the ethical thing to say? Oh, yeah, buddy, we'll have to. We'll encourage her to get set for divorce.
I think that we should do a lot of cultural things other than making them both stay in a marriage that they don't want to
I think you're being rewarding the chote there. And if the man understands that that's what can happen, that, listen, in the same way, and I know this is nice of B'choyom, and it doesn't matter, in the matter of Dutch community, across the board, it doesn't matter which part of the Dutch community, I don't know about the yeshiva world, you may have some of this too. I think that converting, allowing, particularly someone who grew up from, who is dating a non-Jewish woman, and converting her, I think we shouldn't do that. It's A, against the halacha. Now, I know that halacha has been observed in the breach, but B, because you would encourage that. Many years ago, I got a call that tried any details. A young man wanted to meet me. Not a kid who went to YU, I think. And that's indicative. And he had dated a lot. This guy was probably in his 20s. He had dated a lot of, you know, Jewish girls. It wasn't happening. And he met someone at work. And she was more than happy to convert. And, you know, had he been my student or something like that, I might have given him mussar. And just wanted to know. Somehow he thought I'd do something at Gear. Said, I know him. I have no involvement in Gear. You can call the RCA base and talk to them. I don't know what the end of the story was. I have no idea. But my feeling was, dude, ha'ein bebnos ha'chach ha'mecha, you know, Isha, that you're going for the bnos plishtim. And I'm not saying anything negative about this young woman, for she's a lovely human being. Right, there are so many
people.
What?
How's it useful?
Here's my deal, Daniel, is the following. If some guy wants to marry bring a Gyaris to marry her, you have to bring a man to convert at the same time. You got to keep the pool equally. You got to find another non-Jewish guy wants to convert.
I don't think it's specifically significant when there's one more person.
No, but if every time a non-Jewish woman wants to convert, you demand this guy's Jewish man.
I think that you have people who convert.
What I'm telling you is, Daniel, this is a fact. The imbalance in conversion is significant.
I know that.
It's huge, and that has an impact upon the singles community. That's a fact.
I do not think that the solution is not to your
conversion. All I'm saying is, forget the general thing. The idea that, I want to marry this Gentile, well, let's convert her. Given that it's already really halachically usur. So the Rishonim...
That makes sure that she's really doing up the right reasons for rejection.
What's that?
I think you have a Beitin group, like the RCI, really makes sure...
No. She's marrying L'shem Yishus. She might be willing to observe fully.
She's converting L'shem Yishus.
Yeah, that's why they...
No, because the way they observe the halacha and the preaching, but they indoctrinate her enough in Judaism that she starts believing it. That's the ideal, right?
No, let's not fool ourselves. Let's not fool ourselves one iota here. This is, the Rambam already writes this in a tshuva. The Rambam writes this in a tshuva already. They would convert them. The assumption is, of course, when in Cairo, when a man was sleeping with his non-Jewish shechut and polygamy was allowed, they would convert them because otherwise, better mutav sheyochlu basar, tumusos shchutos than basar tumusos nevelos. Better that they do it this way than that way, because the other is worse. So the concern here is if you don't, the really iffy part of the base, and the part that they're working to get around is to make sure that she will observe sufficiently. Right? That's what we're trying to do. But the motivation for conversion here is clear. It's absolutely clear. That's why she came to convert, to marry this guy. So that's against the Gemara, and it's against the Rambam, it's against the Shulchan Aruch. And we know that the practice is to observe this in the breach. And my attitude is, Halei Tehillah Rosh HaVyamos. Because all it does is it encourages it. The Syrians are not wrong in their thinking. Maybe their way they go about it is not always so good. But okay. To me, it's a davar pashut. Takanas benos Yisrael. I know it's complicated in the real world. I know it's complicated for Rabbanim, but you do have to understand. Daniel, you can't respond to this. I'm just going to tell you a fact. You can mull this over. When you convert, l'shma, not l'shma, it doesn't matter. Even if someone's converting l'shem shemayim, unconnected to any Jewish guy, given the realities of what conversion are, that it's like 75, 80, 85% women, just understand that when you convert a woman to become a Gioress, that when she converts, that means that either she or some other Gioris or some other Bas Yisrael will not get married. That's just a fact. That's an arithmetic fact. You can't argue on that. And you can say, I don't care. That's very nice, but you're male, so it's easier for you to say. You're male and you're married. You say, that's a fact. What the action item should be after that, we can have all sorts of debates. But I don't think... I'll ask you all. I just want to know, do you think that is incorrect arithmetically? Yes or no?
It's okay with me, I'd rather not respond.
That's fine. I'll switch to code that now. Okay. Anyway, moving on. All right? We're good. We're done. We're done with this? Hey, you know, that's rabbinic prerogative. I used to be like, you don't. Not yet. All right. In all seriousness, okay, I see what the lunch discussion is going to be next year. Lunch. Okay. You here on Thursday or?
Thursday.
Okay. So we can, we have a topic, for Shiur lunch. Okay, you'll have your...
Only one topic in this conversation?
This might go on forever, but... Okay. All right. So now we want to focus on the second priestess. The one that is, they're basically tied together forever. If they're tied to her, it's not priestess. Even though he was Megarish her for every person. The Krisis is where she still has Kiddushin. She has Kiddushin in her. Because when he Megarish her, Asra Akulayama Kehekdesh. So Gerushin should be like Kijon from Hekdesh. It's Matir her L'chuleyama. And the problem is it's not Matir L'chuleyama. In fact, interestingly enough, there's a Tosas who in a totally different way kind of reflects that. I don't expect you to read it. Tosas Mat Kod Ve'avai Rishona. It's like you debate, but once we've spoken about it, we'll read that. So let's first read the Gemara. So Daniel, read the Gemara. You won't ask. I may keep you busy. You won't ask me the hard questions. And so Rabbi Yeshua comes to the fore. Amahan Rabbi Yeshua. On the eighth line of Hei Gimel Amid Beis. So Lameimra. So what? How did the Gemara understand initially? It's funny. I don't know how common this phrase is. I thought it's a common phrase, but I'm wondering whether or not this is one of the only places it appears. What did the Gemara assume of Yeshua when he said in Yeshua Nasri Lachanisa?
That he agrees to
Rabbi. Correct. Right? That's like when I silence you, because you agree with me.
I'm not bringing it up.
It's waiting there. So, fine. No, once the Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua was arguing, they could have given that parents too. It's good to move the time. Okay, so go ahead. So the Gemara says, well, you. He also had his kashas against what he was about to see. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi kama. Right. Okay. Which is it? What's that?
Do as I say, not as I do.
No, no. So No, really what you should have said is this is a raya against what I just did to you. Right? Amish and Zachamisa is when you don't say things when the person can't respond. So I'm wrong. Okay. So I apologize at Thursday lunch.
I'm not going to take the La'achamisa too seriously
here. But the Chas Shalom. Oh, why can't you say La'achamisa of Rabbi Eliezer? Because he has no chance to respond. So Baruch Hashem, you're high and you should live on Me'eva Etzrim, but I muzzled you, so you can't respond. So it's the same, not fair. It's like, what if I have an argument with Ephraim or Nisim or anybody else in this year and say, well, I'm going to present arguments and you're not allowed to respond and I'm going to win the argument. That's not fair. Right? Anytime the person can't respond, for whatever reason they can't respond, it makes an unfair argument.
Wait, so Rabbi Yeshua,
No, Rabbi Yeshua is about to say it. He's
about
to say it. Okay. Right, and as he says, Umay Pirchon
Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua,
So the truth is Rashi has to explain here, because one of the Havayas is easy. That you should know. Which is the obvious Havaya? The Halcha, the Hayisah, the Ishachar, the Hayisah. Right? Havaya means the Kiddushin. So we say Matash Yitzhiyah Havaya, right? Yatsa, the Hayisah. You're looking for another Havaya, but there is no Havaya in the first one. It's Ki Kafi Shishal, Allah. It's a marriage, but it doesn't use the word Havaya. That's why Rashi points out. So you only have one Havaya. You have two marriages, but you don't have the verb Havaya. So it's being used as a Melitza, right? When we talk about Kiddushin Tosin, we say it's Isva Havaya. Right? It's really the whole Chava Haisa L'Shachar. So Rabbi Yeshua says we compare Kikach ish isha uvala to the halchavaisa shacher. What was her status before Yikach ish isha? She was bound to nobody. So now she's also bound to nobody. And according to you, Rabbi Yeshua, she is bound to somebody.
Because what is the word for me here?
The time period before.
Oh,
okay. Right. Kodamim. It means manim kodamim shel. In your opinion, by the way, which of these two opinions would you argue that Yeshua is chutzah manas if you had to take a stand here? Not think it's mochar, but to me it seems to lean one more way. I thought so. You could say she's still Agida. I don't know. Maybe not. Okay. So Tosus here asks a very interesting question. Well, right. So, correct. Right. If you say Almanash Lotivali also works for those who are Moda by Almanash, then what you're saying is almanas by definition is not a shiur, it's not a limitation of the get, it's just tanai. So I that would not be the way I would.
That is the guy, the first husband. If he never existed, he'd be fine.
Yeah, except for that, by every other tanai, we don't. You're also connected to the husband.
And you wouldn't say the
Well, that's going to be the next discussion of what kind of a tanai is krisus or not. All right, I'm not going to press this issue. I don't think it's 100% machlokes. My first response is the law is the way you know Yoni and Jake said, but you're right, it's not machlokes. All right, so take a look at Tosfos. Ma kod mehavai rishona, the law agideve afa gad velegamrei al karchach lo damud. Al bekod mehavai rishona shari lechule alma, ubekod mehavai shnia asur lekrove bala harisha. Mikoma. So what the kasha is? What do you mean? The woman's state of kiddushin before is not true of after. In other words, before she marries this man, she can marry his brother, she can marry his father, she can marry his son. Now she's asura to his krovim. So mikoma. So you see, kodmei avai rishona and kodmei avai shnia are not the same thing anyway. The Tosfos says mikoma kom hukshul in yikihech lahadi eshes ish beikara. So Tosfos says seems pretty straightforward, but the Havamin of Tosfos is funny. What was the Havamin of Tosfos? I think the Havamin of Tosfos is that originally he asked her if he was Osehar Kuleyama Kehekdesh. In other words, there were people she was comparison to, and now he was not the shark in quotes. And now, if the whole definition of Gevushin is to undo the Hekdesh, and those to whom the Kiddushin Asra, the Inamatuhar, so then every Gevushin, you know, assuming the man had any relatives, assuming he wasn't a Ger Tzedek, assuming he had any relatives, so it's no longer the same. Now the answer is, yes, she's no longer Mutaris, the Kiddushin along with Tosin, with the same universe, except that's for not just the Meshach Zish, that's because of other reasons. Yes, Dave?
Was maybe the reason that you were assuming that the Gemara meant Kutz was from maybe from his Tosfa? Because the Tosfa at the end say that we've got the Gemara and the Din Ish. But if you think it's all enough, then
yes, you're correct. That is what I'm thinking, but the Gemara doesn't really say it. I don't know. I could have just made an error. You're being judging me very generously, assuming because of Tosfos. But it's not an issue per se. In fact, you know, there's a really wild shita in Rishonim. It's a wild run in the beginning of our parak. The question we mentioned this question, I think, is it the top Tosos? On the Venisius possession as well, right? Rabbi Akiva's kasha of why Rabbi Venisius is wrong, because let's say she marries so and so. And then she has children, and so and so dies and divorces her. And now she goes and marries the person she wasn't allowed to be married to. I'm an Ashkenazi to the So Nimsa get batel v'nei mamzerut. So the Tosfos asks the kasha, what do you mean? She can't. The marriage will not be chal with that guy. She can't marry him. It doesn't work. Because as soon as she marries him, the get dissolves that she's not married to him. So she never successfully married him. That was Tosfos' kasha. Now, the simple teretz could be is that it's, I think, what's it called? Rabban says this. It's lashon b'nei adam. It doesn't mean whether kiddushin or chala menashe tasatoni. If you marry so and so, you have a wedding with them, and you do a kiddushin, it doesn't matter whether it's ultimately undone and not chal. That was what menashe what I gave you to get, and now, and therefore you violated. You did tinasi the plumbing, even though you're not actually nasi the plumbing. Take the moment off, the big Tosfos. We spoke about that briefly last week at some point. But the Ran claims that the marriage is chal, and that she is married to so-and-so, hence to forth, but that the get is not chal until then. Go take a look at the Ran. It's wild. It's wild. And to respond to that question of the Gemara, he says, the understanding is, I'm an ash dusty the pony, because if you nisus the pony, it won't be a get until then. Yeah, it's really wild. Okay, so anyway, let's just fix that. I'm not going to go to the mat which way Rabbi Yeshua. So now the Gemara continues.
So
לאחד מן השוק. So that was the braisa that we have in the Tosefta, and we have in the Bavli quotes earlier, that even according to Rabbi Eliezer in a chutz clause, and again, one could argue in the pshat of the Tosefta that's lav dafka chutz. Right? One could have argued in the Tosefta that it means if she remarries, it doesn't matter whether the clause was a chutz amanas or manas latinas. If she marries someone she's allowed to marry, the kiddushin rishona are patur. Why would that be the case, by the way, if I'm correct? In fact, I'll say it differently. It doesn't matter which way you, either way, whether it's dafka chutz, as the language of Tosefta has, but who knows if they're distinguishing, or if you say it's both. Why is it the case? Rabbi Shimon Elazar is going to go after the Tana on Svara grounds. How can the second one be matir? But he says, right? He's asking against the sheet of tribute to Rabbi Elazar, how is it possible? But what is the Svara? Yeah. There is no, so all the Rishonim to Mapechad, Rashi writes here, look at Rashi, Dibur Mashmas, is there Osev Zematir, Nisue Bala Rishon Asur Al Zeh, Vinisue Sheni Yaturah, it's the marriage, not the breakup afterwards. Not like that, the Karbonate and the Rishonim. All the Rishonim, the Mashpah, the Ramban, Tosus, they all say that it's the marriage to the second guy that dissolves the first one. So why is it that, why is it the case? That's one way of looking. There's another way of looking at it, even though it might not be true according to the Bible. How can you be married to two people? It's a different way. No. You're saying you're not free to remarry because you're still tied to someone.
No, I'm saying you're not married.
Cool. Well, okay. So maybe we're saying the same thing. In other words, you can't. A woman cannot be married to two men at the same time. That's not possible. Now, that may not be true according to the Bavli earlier. Brian?
Nah,
I don't think so. I think Rashi, you're talking about Rashi's language?
Everyone says Nisuan.
Yeah, I don't think it's Nisuan as opposed to Erusin.
What would that
be a big finish. That's an interesting approach. I think the Gemara just says that because it gives the normal course of events. She's this Arsa, and Nisei's the pony, and then she's in the Scarish and the Salamala. She could have been the Scarish and the Salamala, and Eris and also, you're right. I don't think the Nisuan is Dafka. I think the Rishonim use the term because the Gemara does, but I don't think the Gemara is Dafka. I just want to point that to you, but again, there's not a right. Tosis Tashim Hingam Amalf is in Tomar Valoa Inisul Holland Sharia Suala. It's not that the Nisuan is not Chal, the Eris, the condition is not Chal. No condition is no Nisu and so. All right. Fine. So let's finish to the end of this.
According
to, yeah.
We'd say that if the second guy does condition and then he gets her again, then she would be more than
that. Leaving aside Ephraim's distinction, that's the Bryce attributes Rabbi Lesser, that he says she's the first Lachadam. Because once she gets married to the second person, she's with her father, except for she's married to the second person, so she's got to get. So tell me something. What did he do? I said Erison to the same from the sewer. You said Kiddushin, which is another term for Erison. What is Kiddushin? Asmat Kuleyama Kehekdesh. I would think that once the second one does Stan Kiddushin, the idea that it doesn't answer her to the first husband, well, I shouldn't say that. it does ask him for something. But I'll put that aside. But my assumption is that when she becomes a sewer to everybody because of the second husband. I don't think the sewer would make a difference.
If innocent retribution is the onset of
vicious age,
then what is
that? That's a general question. Anybody know what's the nafkamina with the raisa between Eris and Nisun? The raisa, not the rabbanon. Cohabiting is only the rabbanon. I can only think of one vade nafkamina, one machlokas hari tanam amar mishon, whether it's nafkamina the raisa, and one which is a big fascinating machlokas hari shon. So which one do you want? Yeah.
Are you, if you, God forbid, have erasing and then you die and somebody else marries your wife, is that the power that Hashem is sending on you? Right? It's only if you're.
I'm not going to throw you out of here. That's my kapara for having muzzled you. Okay, good. We're even now, and then we'll finish the battle on Thursday. So yeah, fine. Okay, so that probably is a deraisa, yes, whatever those obligations are. But none of those, so those are all mamonos obligations. There are three things that are iser obligations, and those are all, except for ona, or those are all subject to mechila. Even though ona is not a monetary obligation, and it's signed as a work by it, but wife can be mochel ona on a given night, that she can be mochelis. There are three things that I can think of offhand that are related to this, to the issue between Eris and Nisuin. Number one is Hafaras Nedarim. When a woman is in Arusa, the husband, I think, cannot be made for her Nedarim unless she, he's made for half. When she's in Nara, her father's made for half, but once they have Nisuin, then only the husband's made for. Number two, for those who hold that Yerusha is a Baal of Ishtar is the Raisa, Machlokas Tanaim, Amaran, and Rishonim, out of Paskin, if Yerusha is a Baal, the Raisa, the Rabbanon. But if, either way, whether it's the Raisa, the Rabbanon, Nafgamina is between Eris and Nisun, he's not Yerush Ishtar Rusa, he's Yerush Ishtar Nisun. And number three is kind of Kohen Bimutami to his wife. So Arusa, yes. Arusa, no. Nisua, yes. And for I believe, maybe Machlokas, but if I'm not mistaken, on the flip side, I think the Tanaim talk about can a Kohen be mitame to his sister? So if she's, I don't remember there if Erusin prohibits or only when Nisuin might be, but certainly a Kohen cannot be mitame to Ishto Arusa, only to Ishto Nisua. That is also a little iffy because the Rambam holds that the whole institution of a Kohen being mitame to his wife is being very seldom, that they treat her like a Meis Mitzvah. So that's not really relevant to the Raisa. So fascinating Rambam, totally different topic. Okay, so the Gemara, let's just very quickly, I don't want to belabor this, there's a lot to talk about here, and I'll just finish. Thank you, Daniel. So he was mentioned, Hecha Matzinu Shezeh Oser V'Matir, V'lo, V'arei Yevama, D'Baal Oser, Yevam Matir, Hasam Yevam Hukasher, V'imi Baal Amashar Yevakayma. So Yevam, it's not that the Yevam is Matir, that was the Baal Aser. If there was no Yevam, or the husband had children, she would be Muteris Lagamri. The Yavam is the one who's, when his brother had no children, is the one who's Oser her. He drops dead, she's Muteris. So he's Matir, what he in effect is creating in Isra, right? In the absence, there's no Yibum Achalitza required if there are no brothers-in-law. Next, the Gemara says, but Hare Nedorim, the Noder Oser V'chacha Matir, you take a Neder, you Oser it, V'lo Yachel Devarauk, where you know Mechal Avacher Mechilin Lo. So the Gemara says, no, then in Hassam, Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, in Chacham Matir, Klum Ela B'charata. That a Chacham is only Matir Neder when the Noder has Charata made Kara, wishing they had never took it, because they said, you know, I didn't think that such and such was going to happen, but I thought about that, I wouldn't have taken the Neder, so I never really meant to take the Neder. So it's really you are the one who's contributing for the Heter. And the last one is, Harei Hafara Chabal, the Ishan Oder is Ubal Mefer. A woman takes the nether, her husband annuls the vow mikanu lahabat, not retroactively. So it's again, ze osir is a matir, so hasan for a pinchas mishmei the rabba, the amar pinchas mishmei the rabba, kol anoderes al das bala, ki noderes. Every one of these could have an extensive discussion, but they're really off topic. If you're really interested in thinking about these, because the comparisons are not really, except for the Yavama case, The other two comparisons, I think, are not good comparisons. They're not conceptually solid. And the Gemara could have different Teirutzim to practice, also explain why they're different. It just gave an easy parent. And the Teirutzim themselves are rather complicated. For example, let's say a woman says, I'm taking a neder against my husband's wishes. Does that mean, therefore, he can't be mefer? The answer is no. Of course he can be mefer. So it's a question of what Rav Pinchas means in the statement. In general, so we can talk, if you're interested, bother me in Seder, but if not, we will continue on in the Gemara, and I will send you more makoros to be thinking about. This is going to take a while to do this. The Rambam has a lot of interesting things to say about crisis. It's the big machlokes of Rishon.